This podcast is brought to you by Podshow and GoDaddy. This show will give you a special code to get great discounts at GoDaddy.com. Got something to say? Blog it with your free quick blog from GoDaddy.
Hey, this is Joe Dion, and this is Fly With Me X, extra content for Fly With Me. Lately, there's been some media attention surrounding an ABC miniseries about 9/11. Apparently, there have been some questions as to how accurate the movie is, and the writer of the series has even admitted to allowing some fiction to creep into it. Well, we all expect some degree of fiction in our TV documentaries, but this event, 9/11, is different. We all remember that day so well. We remember where we were, what we were doing, and who we were with. We all have those facts burned into our memories. There's no need to make anything up, especially when the facts surrounding the event are so compelling in their own right. I think it's best we stick to facts and firsthand accounts when we talk about 9/11. One co-pilot I flew with recently witnessed the events of 9/11 from a unique perspective. Here's his firsthand account of what he saw on that day.
I started off in Boston and had an early departure out of Boston that morning. So we got everybody on the aircraft, pushed back from the gate, taxied out, and in front of us was an American Airlines 767, which we didn't really think much about at the time. And a couple of aircraft behind us was the United 767. And we were headed down to Fort Lauderdale. So got the engine started up, taxiing out, and the American Airlines 767 took the runway, took off, and then we went into position and hold. We actually had to hold for his wake turbulence as he took off. So we took off a few minutes later, and as we were climbing out, we kept on hearing him try to call this American Airlines. And at first, I thought maybe he had just missed a frequency or something of that nature, which is not unusual to, you know, get a couple of calls to a guy. But after several calls and no response to the American Airlines aircraft, they started maneuvering another aircraft out of his flight path, getting them headings, leveling them off at altitudes. And we just thought it was a little bit odd, but once again, just thought the guy had lost the frequency. So we're climbing out, and we saw Manhattan. And as we climbed, we were just north of Manhattan, getting ready to turn south, headed towards Fort Myers. And I looked out, and I looked at the cap, and I said, "Bob, take a look at that. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?" And you could see straight down Central Park and see the World Trade Center and all the beautiful buildings down there. It was postcard beautiful. Out there, and still in the background, they're still trying to call this American's airline aircraft. So we turned down to parallel Manhattan, and about the time we were abeam the World Trade Centers at 31,000 feet, I looked down and saw a column of smoke with a little mushroom cap over the top of it, probably about 300 feet over the top of the building. And I told the captain I was flying with, I said, "Hey, look at that." And he said, "Oh, it looks like there's a fire in the World Trade Center." I said, "Man, that's no fire. That's an explosion." And so we kind of watched it, and different guys started talking about it on the frequency. A few minutes later, American Airlines guy came up and said he heard that a regional jet had flown into the side of the World Trade Center. And even after we saw it, the captain came up, made an announcement to the passengers. If you look off the left-hand side of the aircraft, you'll see the World Trade Centers. It looks like there's a fire in one of them. So we continued on flight and didn't really think a whole lot more of it, just kind of, you know, curious to know what happened. So we were about 35 miles south of New York City and headed just about due south, a little bit southwest. And the controller came up and gave us a vector to fly due east, which is more 90 degree turn, which it's not unusual to get a 10, 15 degree turn for traffic, but they turned us 90 degrees and we thought that was very unusual. And by the time I rolled wings level on a 90 degree heading, the controller came back up and you could hear the stress in the controller's voice. And the controller said, you know, gave us our call sign, told us to immediately turn to a westerly heading, which is a 180-degree turn, and climb to 35,000 feet. And normally at that altitude, they'll ask you if you can climb, but they told us to climb immediately. So I started the turn, and they also asked for a hardest possible turn. And once again, we didn't see aircraft. So we asked the controller if there was any aircraft in the area. And the controller came up and said, yeah, you've got a aircraft converging rapidly at your right 2 o'clock coming out of a higher altitude. I can't remember exact terminology she used. So we were in a turn, and I looked out the window, and I looked out, saw a 767 higher than I was, in about a 40 to 45 degree angle of bank turn, good 10 to 15 degrees nose low, and making a hard turn back up to the north. So at that point in time, I turned off the autopilot and started pulling the aircraft up. When he passed by us, passed less than about 500 feet underneath us, and the captain I was flying with asked me to roll up on my other wing so we could positively identify the aircraft. And air traffic control also asked for an identification, and both of us identified the aircraft as a United 767. So we went ahead, rolled wings level, and proceeded on, and we're both asking, well, what was this guy doing? You know, we had absolutely no idea. And then we got about another 20 minutes south of Washington, D.C., and our printer in the aircraft actually printed something from our dispatcher announcing that there was terrorist events happening throughout the country, and that we would be required to land soon. And about the same time, air traffic control came up and made a general announcement on the frequency that everybody was going to have to find a place within 100 miles to land their aircraft, or else they would assign one. At that point in time, the captain and I talked about it. We locked down the flight deck, agreed that we would not open the flight deck regardless of what was going on. We called back to the flight attendants, told them we were locking down the flight the cockpit, and that we'd be landing soon, and to just tell the passengers we were landing because of bad weather in Fort Myers and we needed additional fuel. And I proceeded to fly the aircraft while the captain communicated with the flight attendants, dispatch, and other people. So I flew the aircraft and diverted into Columbia, South Carolina, and the captain and I both came together on downwind and stuff. He'd finished coordinating with the company, telling them where we were going. Turned downwind, landed at Columbia, and it was uneventful. We kept the aircraft locked up, or the cockpit locked up, till all the passengers were gone off the aircraft. And then we got out the airplane. The flight attendants were a little shaken and stuff. You know, we got off the airplane. And the thing that struck me was there was barely a soul in the terminal. I guess security had completely cleared everybody out of the terminal, including the passengers we had just deplaned. And we turned around and looked up, and CNN was on the monitor at the gate, seeing both World Trade Centers on fire. And it probably hadn't been 3 or 4 minutes, and then the first World Trade Center fell. And we realized what had occurred then. But that's pretty much it. Wrong place at the wrong time. Saw the whole thing transpire on 9/11.
Wow. I invite you to post your own firsthand account of where you were on 9/11. You can post them as comments at flywithjoe.com. Also, I'm going to post some of my own thoughts about that day. Check for an episode of Fly With Me, the original, not Fly With Me X. I'll post it this September 11th coming up. That's all for now. I'm Joe Dion. Come fly with me.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.